Hey, hey, hey! Welcome back to Ungroundable with me, Lisa Schwartz, and Mom, who isn't here once again because now we're having technical difficulties. Guys, it's never a dull moment here on this show because we are revealing secrets from our childhood past. Childhood past, is that redundant? You get the point. You've been here hopefully before, and we're so happy to have you back. You guys, today, we have Mr. D. If you don't know him, you're about to lose your mind. He is hysterical. He is wonderful. And today we're talking about sex hotlines, dick pics, and class pets. Yep, all those things in one tremendous episode. I'm so excited. Let's do this.
If your parents only knew of the shit you used to do, you'd be grounded for a long, long time.
Hi, thank you so much for being here. I'm so honored.
Oh my gosh, come on.
You are hysterical. And let me just give you a little backstory about my fangirl dumb for you, because I'm in several group text messages, half of which are like all moms and teachers. And so your like all your videos and Instagram clips have been like throughout our text chains over the past few years. So all my friends are very excited for me today.
Oh my gosh. Yes, I do have a very similar demographic of alcoholics like you've mentioned. So I am fully aware.
Sincerely spot on.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, my best friend is a teacher and now she's running a school. And I mean, that bitch can put down the wine. I mean, she really can take it down.
It is crazy. Nobody drinks like a teacher. I'm sure people do, Gary Busey, but we do have, my shows are nuts. Like it is, I'm one of the only comics who pulls an audience of like 90% women. The rest are the gays. And not only are they women, they like pick up after themselves, tuck in their chair. I did a show one time and the fire alarm went off right before I went out on stage. And when I went out to exit, they were in single file lines. I was insane. And then we got outside and they were catcalling the firemen. I was like, these are my bitches. These are my ride or die hoes right here.
I mean, what a fantastic group.
Truly.
We have following you.
Blessed.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, you're bringing so much joy to teachers who I feel like just need to hear the things that they're feeling.
Yeah.
You know, and like, can you just give me a little backstory on how you got started for those who don't know? Because it's just, I just think you're wonderful.
Thank you. The common misconception is that I was a teacher and had a video go viral and then kind of decided I could do stand-up. But as a teacher, you're often, poor? So you have these second and third jobs just to like put gas in your car, right? So I was an elementary school teacher, a spin instructor, a zoo education worker, and a stand-up comedian all at the same time. Four jobs. And stand-up was always my passion. Like I was doing it late nights, like making it work. And then I had like some parents of my students came to a show and I was freaking out. And then like more parents started to come and then staff started to come. And it was just a big snowball that led up to the time I had a video go massively viral, which then opened the doors to have an audience outside of my community. So I was finally able to like leverage all the writing that I did on a serious scale. So that was like my big like pop into it. And then after a while, I still taught for like 3 years after that. I still taught full-time and did comedy full-time.
Jeez.
And then I realized that, you know, I could be in the classroom and hopefully affect these 30 kids and their families, or I can go and do these shows for hundreds, thousands of people and just allow them to escape reality at the truth that we endure, and also to show non-teachers how crazy this job is. And I'm just using comedy as the vessel for change. So hopefully people see what I do and then realize we have to do better by our teachers. And I realized I was making a bigger impact as a comic of all things. So I jumped ship and this is my career and I'm absolutely loving it.
I mean, what a great story, first and foremost. And I also really like what you're going for here, which is true. Like, you're kind of giving a voice to a lot of teachers and administrators who don't really have a voice.
Oh, so the number one music to my ears when fans after the show say, "You said everything I think, but I'll get fired if I say." I'm like, yeah. Well, you're a theater
niche. Like, yeah, it's great.
You're a theater girl, right?
I am.
Right.
Yeah, I owned a children's theater company.
Oh my God. Very nice.
So I dealt with all the parents. I mean, when it was Annie time, let me tell you, those parents fight hard for an Annie.
It's a hard life for you and me, babe. I understand.
Correct.
I am a theater person too. And the coolest thing about what I'm doing now is I would preach every single day to my classes, follow your dreams, do what you love. And I never forget, I had a fourth grader. He was like you're doing right now. And I was like, holy shit. Yeah. So I was like doing it in real time as I was saying it. So I was being a true example for what I was teaching to the kids. And now they're all in college or graduating and they write me.
I mean, isn't that bonkers?
Bonkers.
That makes you feel old. Yeah, bonkers. That shit makes you feel old.
Oh, so old. So old.
Awful.
And they write me, but they say things like, it's so crazy and so inspiring to watch you succeed because I remember when you just were talking about wanting to do this. Oh. And now you're doing it. And I was like, oh man, that's powerful. It's cool.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Well, I just think you're doing the bestest of work. The bestest. Is that what you teach the kids?
Yeah, we'll accept it. We're gonna take it.
So today I'm actually in my mom's house. We were having technical difficulties, so she is just sitting in the other room.
I was wondering if she was gonna join us.
Mom, you can come wave. But, you know, this whole idea behind this podcast is sort of, you know, hiding these secrets all these years, which I'm sure all your students have many a secrets that maybe you knew, but their parents certainly didn't know. And now that we're old enough, there's something kind of charming about being able to like reveal these secrets that you've been holding in all this time. And so before we jump into your story, I like to like kind of set the stage for our listeners. If you can give us sort of a general idea of how you grew up, what it looked like, what your family was like, and what you were like, so that when we hop into the stories, we kind of know what we're in store for.
100%. I can only describe this as I was that kid. Like,
okay.
I was him. Like, when you met me, you were like, only child. Like, there was no holding it back. Like, I was the center of the tension. I knew I was funny, but I didn't know how to harness it. So I was probably mm-hmm. just annoying. And the number one trait that I think the audience needs to know is I was trouble, but everybody's favorite. So like the teachers loved me, the parents loved me, and I got away with murder day after day after day because I was just like cute, lovable, friendly, extroverted, but super annoying too, for sure. And that was me. And my family allowed me to dance to the beat of my own drum quite a bit. Very quickly started in community theater because they found that I just was a performer. And my dad, always in my corner, really telling me to just like keep going. I'll be at all your shows. They still do. And
where were you born?
Detroit, Michigan. So I am
cold. That's all I know. Very cold.
Yeah, I'm a cold Midwesterner. I love cheese more than probably myself. And so that's the tale. That's where we're at.
An only child. We've had a few on the show. I feel like it warrants a very specific personality, I think. Did it make you more creative because you had to kind of entertain yourself?
Looking back on that now, probably, I do think that I won't have an only child. We'll say that. Like, it's not.
Really? Okay, yeah. Wait, do tell me, because my husband and I are starting to plan and think about doing the family thing.
Well, you're.
And immediately already, we're like, this shit's going to be so expensive when it happens. Let's just one and done it, maybe.
Right. No, don't.
You say no.
No. And it's.
Give me all the reasons.
Well, it's not because of. Well, first of all, we're weirdos. We're just weirdos. Mm-hmm. And like, there's an element of strange that comes with any only child, regardless. But the biggest thing is, it was really hard as a kid not having other kids around when you're home. So like being in your own element and trying to figure out your own shit, like, and watching my friends do that with their brothers and the sisters and the bonds that they had, I always yearned to have siblings. And now when I'm older, it's very difficult watching, especially not living in Michigan anymore, and watching my parents get older and knowing that that's all on me and I'm not there is the most difficult mental conundrum I've ever been in. And I don't want to bring a child into this world and put that on them. That's me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I like find myself definitely leaning on my brother now. Like we weren't very close growing up, but like now it's like, oh, we gotta stick together and do this.
Yeah.
And my mom's mom just recently passed and was sick, and she's an only child, and it was like all on her. Like all on her. I watched it. Yeah, it's a lot. This got really heavy, really fast.
It did. And it all hit me at one time too, where both of my parents very quickly had to go to the hospital within days of each other. And right. I was like handling that all at the same time. And I just walked to my boss's office and I was like, I'm leaving. And that's the end of it. And just like left and came back probably 3 days later, but was probably still in the same clothes when I went back to work. Cause it was quite literally all on me. So it's weird. It's a weird, and I'm sure all the only children listening are like, yes, bitch, tell them, because it's just so true. Oh, and the other thing that they need to know about me too is growing up, most kids are grounded for like starting shit, getting in a fight, cheating on a test. I was grounded for things like doing too many accents, like doing too many character voices, like dancing out of turn, like putting on every costume I could find in Target and creating a character and walking around Target as said character. Like I literally, this would have gotten me canceled now. I used to pretend I was blind in the grocery store and knock shit over. And then my mom would be yelling at me and I would say, I can't help it. That was me. That was me who did that.
Oh my, I bet your performance was brilliant though.
Honestly, like, meta. On. Yeah. It's
committed to the end.
I'm not even gonna tell you. Oh. Like literally, it was so good. This is honestly shoot me. I'm gonna get canceled.
Different times, everybody, different
times. This was like 1995, everyone shut the hell up. I was so committed to the art that I don't wear glasses, but I would find a pair of like readers in the store, put them on, and to just be so committed, I would take them off and cross my eyes like as they came up. Like that. That was the level, Lisa. That was the level.
Your eyesight was never the same.
Never
since.
The same. It would stay like that forever. This is actually post LASIK. So I hate myself.
Okay, I do think I know, but this is part of your creativity. I mean, you're a performer from the start. I mean, obviously, this is what you were meant to do.
Hello.
Bless your parents for really just like, I mean, I'm sure they were punishing you because they were just annoyed and they didn't know.
Oh, for sure. They wanted to go watch Roseanne so I could just, you know, be banished to the bedroom, which my bedroom was under the stairs. I'm totally kidding.
Oh, I was like, it was? How cool.
Right.
Harry Potter of you. Well, now that the table is set, I before you tell us these stories, I'm wondering if you have exposed a lot of this stuff to your parents already, since they do come to all your shows and stuff. I imagine you use a lot of your childhood stories in your stand-up. Are these secrets, or do you have secrets that they have yet to hear?
One is a secret that they have yet to hear.
Okay.
The others, they have found out about over the years. None of them are on stage yet, surprisingly. So okay. We're in for a treat.
Yeah, lay it on me.
I guess I'll start. Should I go chronologically?
How do you feel comfortable?
I feel
it. Are you an organized person? Do you like this chronological order?
No. Like you, yes. I'm a type B. I'm a type B. I'm a type B type of bitch. Okay. I one time, it was New Year's, okay? And I had was going out with friends. I had a wonderful time. And I was also on the line with a gentleman caller who I was very interested in meeting up.
On the line? Like you were on?
No, on the line.
What year are we talking about?
We're probably talking
like a like, call-in line?
Not
remember
a,
those?
No, that we will get to that one. This call.
Okay.
This one was this must have been like 2011, maybe.
Okay.
So when I say on the line, like, I'm not going to, there were many on the line. Like, it was, we were kind of, there was a little Rolodex of who I wanted that day, what was the flavor I was feeling.
Got it. Sure.
And there was one that I was very interested in. And we were like texting all day. We were going to like meet up and probably like do really adult things. And then that night, with consent, I decided I would send him an explicit picture of myself. And I sent it. And do you ever do something? Oh, by the way, I'm like it's like the ball's about to drop type of New Year's, okay? Like,
how old are you? You're in high school or this?
No, I'm like 23.
Okay.
Yeah,
can't do math.
No, no way. No, okay. No. I'm like, I'm 15 at the bar.
Yeah. You never know.
It was Detroit. You never know. It was Detroit. So okay.
The ball's about to drop.
The ball's about to drop, and I send it, and I'm like, okay, we'll probably meet up later, right? And do you know when you do something, and it, like, when something not right is happening, and you just, it just is like, you're like, there's no word, it's just, you got to figure it out. And I, like, did a double take, and his name started with M, and I sent it to the most recent M that I was texting who wasn't him. Mom. And I sent it to my mom, and I was like, oh, shit. And my heart, I just dropped my phone. I was like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. But here's the thing about me. I thrive in crisis. I don't know what it is, but, like, I think it's because my ADHD is able to just, like, handle so many options at one time that I find the best one faster than the average human.
Great.
What I did is I was like, how am I going to handle this? This old bitch don't know how to use her phone. So the first thing I'm going to do is send her, just spam her with just random words. So I was like, and
so
cat.
So smart.
Yeah. I was like, and so cat, radish, pumpkin, just like, I just like kept going. And I must have done this for like 7 minutes, like da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Called her immediately, and I was like, do not look at your phone. She's like, what's wrong? Do you need help? Do I need to come get you? And I'm like, listen, there is no time for explanation. This is one of those times where when I say something, you have to do it. Am I in trouble? Yes, I am in danger, and I need you to handle this correctly. And she's totally following. She's like following my rules. She's like, what do you need me to do? And I step by step taught her how to open her text messages, not text message, her text messages. And then I taught her how to swipe left so that delete would show up, so that she would delete the entire thread and never open the picture.
Oh my God. That is brilliant.
I think about it to this day.
Did she know? Like, honest, she knew.
We've never talked about it. I swear to God, we've never talked about it. And I to this day, I'm over here wondering, like, did she open it and she was just saving face for me? But on the phone, though, here's the other thing. My mom, psychotic. Just very... very good actress. She is committed to the lie. Like, and when we were on the phone, it was very like, what's wrong? Okay. Yep. I'll do it. Done. But
meanwhile, she's just looking at the pic.
Oh, I could see her being like, yep, Joe. I'm deleting it. Yes. And it's gone. Like, I could see that being true too. So I don't know, have never talked about it, will never talk about it until she inevitably hears this. And and I still think about that moment, and I'm just like, you were so good. Like, do you know how many people couldn't have done what you did? A lot.
Truly. Very creative. I have follow-up questions.
Go.
Did you take the picture at the bar, or was this one that you favorited one?
Yeah, it was the good. It was the good one.
Okay, and was your face in it?
No, my face was not in it. So I had...
Would she have known?
But honestly, yes, because, like, what am I doing sending my mother a penis? She would have been like...
I mean, either way, what are you doing? Send your mother penis.
I think she would have used logic to figure out that it was mine. But again, I've never talked about it. But my face was not in it. I do often wonder... if there will be a Reddit thread with my face in it at one time. I already have the plan for when it does.
Well, you're going to tell everyone on Reddit to erase their phone messages.
I probably like every six, like there was a time when I was young and just horny, and every month I feel like I'm with my team and I'll stop in the meeting and be like, so everyone remembers what their role is when this happens, right?
You have like drills, earthquake drills.
Yeah. Code D. Yeah. It's just like over. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, the internet's a wild place. You're actually very smart to be ahead of this.
Yeah. It's super weird that I'm even saying this because obviously it's Photoshopped. Whatever people end up seeing, it's Photoshopped. You get what I'm saying? It's Photoshopped.
Guys. Hello. It's Photoshopped.
It's so Photoshopped.
Well, I feel like, I mean, I'm just making an assumption here, but I feel like had your mom seen it, she would have been really proud of you.
Most likely.
You know?
Yeah, that she probably would have called me and been like, you're a fucking whore. So you never know.
It sounds like you got some of your creativity from your mom if she's a good actress.
She's a theatrical type of woman for sure. She is the extrovert of the two. My dad's dry. He's dry. And he was always the serious one. And we never really, still to this day, I'll have my mom dying laughing. And my dad will just be like, okay.
Do you think he's like laughing inside or he just doesn't get it?
No, he is, I think, annoyed and B is one step ahead of me. He's just like over it. But he does laugh very hard at my shows. I'll say that.
That's
which is cool.
Very sweet.
It is very sweet.
They come to your shows.
It's very comforting when they do. And I love having them in the audience. I just don't like to see them, but I do love having them in the audience.
You don't want to see them, but you like knowing that they're
there. Oh, and they know, too. They know. Sit in the back like it's this ain't your thing. So, mm-hmm.
I remember growing up, I was really into musical theater, and so mm-hmm. I'd practice and stuff. But if my parents, wanted to hear me sing, I would turn around. Like, I couldn't look at them. So I would, stand in the corner and sing in the corner for them. So,
oh, my God. Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
Exactly. Okay, so lead us into the next now.
Okay, we're going to go back. This is probably 1997 at this point. Okay. And I don't know if you grew up in LA, right? Southern California. So
yeah,
you for sure would have had this around. Do you remember when late at night they would play the super smoky, super intimate sex line numbers, but they wouldn't say what it was. It was just kind of like alluding to it.
Like commercials for it.
Right.
Okay. I do.
So I'll never forget. There was one and it was for 1-800 Fat Girl. And
not with a PH. It was not a PH.
It was sure not a PH. And I don't know what my little gay ass was, but I was enamored with the
sure.
I'll be honest with you, there wasn't inkling of me that thought you were just calling to chat with someone. So whenever we got together as a family, the cousins just descended to the we were banished to the basement, and we were set to our own devices, sometimes without toys or video games or anything. We just make shit up. Oftentimes these turned into all cousins sit down and watch Joey perform. Like that.
Yes.
It's and now from Oliver Twist and go. That. That's what it was like for the basement. It was either that or I was casting them as different roles and then we'd make all the parents come down. Yeah.
Oh, sure. That was my favorite game. Also, we don't have basements here. And so every time we have a guest that talks about a basement, it's so fascinating to me. And I feel like all the fun shit happened in the basement.
Oh, the fun shit did happen in the basement, especially when you were in high school.
Oh, I wish I had a basement.
It was great. It's a great time. Right. So we're in the basement and I don't fully remember how it came up, but I was asking him, have you guys ever seen this video or it's on TV at nighttime? And they're like, no, what is it? I'm like, it's 1-800 fat girl. And they were like, oh my God. They're like, you should call it. And I was like, I can't because I don't remember the number. And they're like, it's 1-800-FAT-GIRL. So, and I like knew. So they're like, and I was like, oh, well, I was like, well, why don't you call and let's see what happens. And there's no like speakerphone on this phone. It was like a long cord. Like you had to be, we were all gathered by the wall. And I made my cousin Destiny call it. And we're all around the receiver listening. And we called it. And it, I will never forget. It was very sultry. And it goes, you.
I love that the shit just sticks in your head. Like, this is a core memory.
It's also because we will say it to each other in our 30s still. Yeah, it goes, it goes, you have called 1-800-FAT-GIRL, where it's so easy to stick it in. Your credit card, that is. And we were like, ah. And I don't exactly know how. But we did get a hold of my aunt's credit card and we did.
Come on.
Yeah, we did plug it in, right? So we were talking to. We're just sitting there chit chatting with Lolita for about probably 60 seconds before she realized she was on the phone with children and promptly hung up on our asses.
Promptly,
right?
Hung up.
However, 60 seconds is about $140, okay?
Oh. And that wasn't even inflation. Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we don't quite understand how phones and credit cards work. But it was probably 3 months later, my aunt cross-checked the high phone bill with the high credit card amount and realized that somebody had called a sex hotline. And then she drilled my Uncle Fred. And Uncle Fred...
Oh, poor Uncle Fred.
My Uncle Fred cross-checked the date and was like, that couldn't have been me because we all had family over. And I'm pretty sure at this point they look at each other and they go, Joey. But so then they call all of the cousins' houses, right? All of my cousins confess except for me. And I'm like,
yes.
I'm like, what? I would never, and I fully have my mom. I fully have my mom convinced. I don't know that we've talked about it fully, but I fully had her convinced. She calls my aunt, and she does the typical parent, not my kid. He says he didn't do it. He didn't do it. I believe my son, and I'm over here like, yep, I didn't do it. All my other cousins confess they had to go to my aunt's house for a full day and clean everything. Dog shit, baseboards, furniture, windows.
Top to bottom.
And I didn't go. And they still will bring it up like, you asshole.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, they're like,
hell
you,
yeah.
It was your idea. You brought this to the table. We did it. We all got in trouble. And you didn't even have to do any sort of punishment. And honestly, it's probably like, that's America, babe. Like, what do you want?
Kisses.
And I never felt bad about it ever, not once. Isn't that terrible? My
I'm
little
like, that's
kid
fantastic.
Self.
That's fantastic. Yeah, what a brilliant little shithead you were.
Oh, such a shithead. And literally, I think for years, my aunt was just like, we know it was you. And I was like, like, I know. And they're like, we all know. We all know. And they, well, couldn't have been me. I was a little gay boy.
I mean, just deny, deny, deny.
I was literally like 1994 Anna Delvey. Boy was
how fabulous.
Truly psychotic. Truly psychotic.
Oh my God. Do you think that hotline still exists? Have
I
you
don't,
tried?
Oh my God. We haven't tried, but I'm
what if Lolita is still there? She's just like real old.
If she is, she's like 70 in hospice smoking a cigarette with an oxygen cord on. Like that is what's
badass.
Happening. 100%. 100%.
My husband said that he used to call those with his friends also, but they would just get up to the point where they would say, like, put in the credit card, and then they would hang up because that was enough, like, for them. Like, that did,
that did it.
Just to hear, like, the sultry voice.
Well, I wonder, too, if they got caught because the phone... Remember back then you would, like, get a phone bill in the mail with, like, a straight-out phone record? Like,
yeah.
A parent could have still put that together.
Yeah. 1-800 fat chick.
1-800 fat girl. 1-800 fat girl.
Fat girl.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which that would not fly these days.
That would not fly these days. Mm-hmm. It really is like so tremendous how much change has happened since.
Yeah.
From things that fly to now. I'm sure even just in your stand-up, you've adjusted things
The years. Yeah, like especially like I think about 1-800 fat girl. Like if it was around today, it would be like 1-800 fat girl who loved their bodies and are super into the way they look. And you should be too. Yeah. Like that would be it.
Which now I insert your credit card.
Right. I am so pro that though. I'm very pro that.
Oh, absolutely. Of course.
Yeah.
Just the change in verbiage is
for sure. Silly. For sure.
I love this. Okay. So mom still doesn't know about either of these.
Mom doesn't know about either of these, but she does know about the next one that I've brought to the table.
Okay.
So as I was a very ambitious first year teacher. And one of the things I always knew I wanted to do was have a class pet. And I one day was at a farmer's market with my mom and dad, and there were just rabbits everywhere that this guy was. He had like a table full of rabbits. And I was like, how much are these rabbits? They were like $10 he was selling a rabbit for. So I scooped up a rabbit.
Okay.
And I was
threw down 10.
I was like, this is our class pet rabbit. And it was a very specific rabbit. Do you know anything about rabbits by chance?
No, I don't.
This
enlighten me.
This rabbit was called a lionhead rabbit. It's a one step down, cheaper version of an Angora. And it has long, luscious, gorgeous hair. You got to brush this thing or it gets matted. It's basically a dog, a rodent dog. So I get this rabbit and I start to like train it. I kind of got it potty trained a little bit. And her name was Rosie, and she was Rosie the Reading Rabbit. And what I would do is I would open her cage during silent reading time, and all the kids would scatter around the room, stay in your spot. And if Rosie jumped in your lap, you got to read out loud to her. So I could like hear them read, assess how they're doing. And they were encouraged to like, because Rosie's not going to judge them. Honestly, teacher of the year status. Brilliant. With that. Yeah, like let's be real.
I think I would have been down with reading out loud. I hated reading out loud. I still hate reading
too.
Out loud.
Me
it's so
too.
Scary. It's so scary.
Oh my God. Can we talk
but
about this
I
really
Rosie.
Quick? Self tapes. Yeah. I hate. I'm always like, I'm pronouncing these wrong. Two inside baseball.
Yeah. And you have to stare at yourself over it. It's terrible.
It's the worst. Okay. So Rosie.
If Rosie was there, however.
If Rosie was there, honestly, I would have had such confidence. It would have been fine for my ADHD, my non-neurotypical brain. Anyway, so the kids like love this rabbit. It's honestly bringing the culture of my classroom together. They're super into it. So I start doing what's called cross-curricular teaching, which is where you can combine two subjects into one. And we're learning about science. So I'm like, oh, let's take Rosie the Reading Rabbit and use her for science. And we were learning about animal adaptations at this point. So we all went out to the baseball field, normal size baseball field, and I sat all the kids on the bleachers and put Rosie in the grass, okay? So they could watch, and they all had their notebooks, and they were taking notes on Rosie, what she's eating, how she's hopping, like just what she's like in her own natural element. Now this—
I'm nervous.
Stark white rabbit in freshly cut, bright-ass green grass. This thing sticks out like a sore thumb, okay?
Okay.
She's munching down on her shit. The kids are all on the bench. We're watching her out of nowhere. A hawk swoops down from the telephone pole, snatches her little ass up.
And
flies away with him in her claws. My class is losing their mind, screaming, like crying. It was unbearable. Unbearable. Okay. And then I had this one little kid who was me of the class stand up and say, it's okay, everybody. It's the circle of life. And I was like, honestly, this is so good, but not right now. It was terrible. So as a teacher, these things happen where you just lose the whole day. Like if a hummingbird flies into your classroom, if it snows, like any of these things, just scrap your plans because nothing's going to happen. So I literally just went and put movies on for the rest of the day and had them play games. I tried to make the rest of the day as fun as I possibly could to get them to forget. There was no forgetting. The parent emails were just in my inbox the next day.
I mean, like trauma.
Oh, pure trauma. Funny enough, though, my principal somehow never fully caught wind of this, and it just didn't, it never became a thing. I was never reprimanded. We never talked about it, and we just kind of, as a unit, got over it, moved on, and continued the school year with an empty cage. I probably should have cleaned the cage up that day.
That's what I was going to ask. That was my follow-up. Like, did the cage, like, just sit there?
Yeah,
was it, like,
the rest of the year.
Okay, that was a poor choice. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and say that.
They often in teaching, they say, use your professional judgment. Use your professional judgment. I don't have any. I just have judgment. It's not great.
You didn't put like a towel over it? Or
no, like a little note, like, someone used to live here. No, nothing. Nothing.
Did a kid like ever bring it up like way later?
Oh, all
in
the time.
Year?
I think I have. I might not have brought it out yet. These are all pictures that my former students actually drew me when I was still a teacher. I saved them because I knew I'd put it up in an office one day. Yeah. And in the bin that all these are saved in, they drew pictures of her. I have so many pictures of Rosie. It's like, it's sad. It's so sad.
I mean, honestly, that's so epic. It's terrible. Did you have a co-teacher or was it just
No,
you?
Thank God. I was teaching by myself that year. No other teachers. I did tell other teachers about it and they were kind of like, no fucking way. I'm like, yeah. She food.
I mean, the circle of life, that kid was not wrong.
And it moves us all. Unbelievable. True story.
That's movie. Like, actually, all your stories would be great in a movie.
Oh, and don't I know it?
You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Are you writing a book? Have you written a book?
I have not written a book yet. Right now, I'm waiting for my tour to die down. I'm filming my special in March. And after that, my next big project is I'm gonna tap into children's literature if I can.
Oh, hell yeah.
Right.
And your first book's gonna be about Rosie.
Probably. Yeah. The life cycle of a rabbit. Yeah. We'll see what happens. My whole thing too is I don't think I'll ever go back into the classroom just because the cards I've been dealt are so rare that I know I need to continue to seize this moment. But I do often feel like I want to do something to give back to kids and education and educators. So I feel like that would be a cool mesh of my two passions.
Oh, absolutely. That's brilliant. I'm definitely cheering you on for that. It's a must.
Thanks. I appreciate
it. You have such like a specific, wonderful voice and we need more of it.
I'm down.
We're going to take a quick little break. If you'll stick with us, we have listeners submit stories of things that they have, secrets they've held on to all these years that they have yet to share and are willing to share here now. So if you wouldn't mind going on that journey with me as I read out loud, which we know how we feel about that, their stories, that would be awesome.
Yes.
All right, we'll be right back. Hey guys, just want to take a quick break to say a very special thank you to you, yes you, for supporting this podcast. It means the world to me and my mom. If you could take the time to rate and review it also, that really helps us out. We, as you know, are a newer show, so spreading the love, sharing with everyone that you know who you think would love this really makes a huge difference for us. Also, if you could leave a rating and a review, that would be fantastic. Let us know what you guys think. Also, we're about to share some of your stories, so if you want us to read yours, come on over to ungroundablepodcast.com and spill the beans. Let us know those secrets you've been holding in so tightly over all these years. Honestly, it's going to feel really good to let these stories out. So head on over there and stay tuned to future episodes to see if we reach your story here on the podcast. Also, guys, we're on Patreon. Why wouldn't you come over there? We're having a good old time over there. Come hang out with other members. You get early episode access and you could check out bonus episodes, literally a whole nother show that I'm doing with my husband, Jeff. It's a great time. There's so much stuff going on there. Lives, the whole shebang. Head over to patreon.com/ungroundablepodcast. Also, available now, there is, in fact, a new bonus episode of Sidebar, the show that I do with Jeff over there on Patreon, as well as an upcoming January 13th hangout at 4:30 Pacific Standard Time. It's exclusive. It's not recorded. And you can experience it live if you join me over there on Patreon. Also, friends, this is a new announcement that we're very excited about. There is a new show on our network. It's called Knock Knock High with the Glockenfleckens. You know the Glockenfleckens. They seek out the world's weirdest, most shocking, and unexpectedly hilarious medical stories from doctors, nurses, friends, and those celebs who just played one on TV. So stick around. At the end of this episode, we will play the trailer. And I hope that you guys enjoy. I'm really, really looking forward to it. Let's get back to it. I'm having so much fun, and I'm glad that you guys are here with us. Let's do it. All right, we are back, and we are recovered from the bunny story, and we're about to hop in. I like to preface this by saying I never pre-read these. So one, I might do a terrible job reading out loud, and two, I don't know what we're about to get into, but here we go. First up, I was raised by my really religious grandparents. They did not agree with drinking alcohol. My best friend at the time had an aunt who bought her vodka for doing something for her. Being the friend she was, she thought she'd share it with me. I was 15 at the time, and it was my first time drinking, and we drank it straight up out of the bottle. Ugh. Vodka straight out of the bottle is not a good idea, just generally speaking.
No.
This is a hard no. Did you use to sneak booze and stuff? Or were
Yeah, for sure. And then I went to the Party College of Michigan, Central Michigan University. So drinking very quickly became my second language. How I'm not a full-blown alcoholic to this day, I don't know. But it was quite a journey in my 20s.
What was your go-to drink?
In college, I drank... Do you ever hear of Burnett's? Do they have that over there?
No. Who is she?
Burnett's. She is like one step above Popov vodka, super cheap. You could get it for $10 by the half gallon, and came in a myriad of flavors. And everybody had their own go-to, like Burnett's, this flavor mixed with this. And mine was, and I honestly would still drink this today, but maybe like a goose flavored. Burnett's pineapple and Mountain Dew was like my shit. Like I was trying to get my heart to stop. It was either that or Four Loko original recipe, like the kind that would make you shit your pants and make your heart stop, like that.
Oh my God.
I know.
Oh my God, the things we would do to our bodies. But like, I feel like back then they would just bounce back. So
do you
easily.
Remember that? I literally remember the first time I was like hammered in college, and I woke up the next day and was like, it's welcome week, let's go again. Like, I can't, if I drink now, I'm out for 2 days minimum.
Absolutely. I have memories of like getting on the treadmill the next morning and just like fucking going for it. Like,
I know. It's crazy. Crazy.
This is a PSA. Like, enjoy that. If you're in your 20s, like really enjoy it.
I know.
Really.
Okay. So you're in California. So you, I don't know if we go here on your podcast, but you're in California.
Sure.
So it was very different in Michigan. Like weed being legal in Michigan just happened like a year ago, maybe. So it took me a while longer to make that step. But
yeah.
I think now it's pretty much like if it doesn't grow, it doesn't go type of situation with me. Like I can't stay out drinking with you all night, but I'll eat an edible, go to sleep, and like enjoy my Saturday.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I think that's a 30s discovery
for
too.
Sure, yeah. For sure.
But you do travel so much, and I would love for you to give a shout out to your tour here so that people know that where they can go see you. But I do feel like the drinking culture is so like relevant in specifically in touring. Do you feel that pressure, or are you just going? You don't really have time.
Yeah, you do feel the pressure. And I think in every comic's life, you learn how to either appropriately handle the situation or you just stop completely. Like the number one thing about being a stand-up is your job is everyone else's good time. So your job is their night out, which makes it very hard because immediately any friends, any family, any people that you know who are coming to the show to see you want to go out with you after. And I'm like, baby, I got two more of these tomorrow. I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
Like, this is a work night. You know what I'm trying to say? So that gets very difficult to handle. And then also, I mean, we're American. Generosity is, would you like something to drink? So you drink for free at all of the venues. It's just whatever you want, it's there for you. And you need to learn how to be like, okay. So I don't drink on the first nights of the show, and I kind of feel out how it's going from there. And if I want to go out, I will not do it until the last show of the run.
Dude, that's discipline, and I really respect that.
Thank you.
This is an art for you. This is your job. So this, I think that's really actually inspiring to other comics, because I was always, I could never do stand-up. That is so scary to me.
It's so funny.
But I always was curious about that lifestyle and how different people handle it. It's interesting.
Yep. That's my thing.
Good for you. Also, do you change your outfit every time, or do you have like a go-to stand-up outfit?
So it's kind of funny. Sometimes if I'm taping for the weekend, I'll bring a different outfit for every single show. But for the most part, I just sort of throw shit in my bag and like I look at what I packed
Hope
and I'm like, yeah. And then sometimes if I know I'm going to a well-populated city, not like Des Moines, Iowa or something, I'll bring one outfit with the intention of going shopping during the day.
Ooh, fun.
I mean, how else am I going to do it? That frees up my week, you know? So two birds, one stone.
Okay. One more. We got, my parents were having a dinner party at our house when I was 9 years old. I was trying to go to sleep and it was really loud. So I called 911 and filed a noise complaint.
Classic.
That's brilliant. The cops showed up and I think asked them to turn down the music as a neighbor complained. I remember the next morning sitting around the breakfast table and my parents were debating who would have called the cops on them. I should probably tell them, but it was kind of funny. That's so funny.
She did a nose complaint on her own house. That's awesome.
That's pretty good.
That's, you know, one time when I was in elementary school, we had, you probably didn't have a lot of indoor recess, did you? For weather permitting?
It was like the one time it rained and it was chaos.
Yeah, yeah. So indoor recess is commonplace in Michigan in the winter. So
sure. It
was like every day between November and May, right? Always indoor recess. My first tour was actually titled Indoor Recess because it's chaos. It's just
chaos, yeah. I imagine. And as a teacher, oh God.
It's chaos. So I, one time at indoor recess, I was in sixth grade, which the school that I went to was kindergarten through sixth grade, was elementary school. And I picked up my teacher's phone during indoor recess and I said to the class, I called the local radio station, 93.1 DRQ, and I called them and I said, "This is Mr. Clippert's class from Beck Elementary. Everyone say hey." And nobody made a sound.
Aww.
And then I came to the back phone and he was like, "Okay, great. Thank you." It never was on the air. I hang up, blah, blah, nothing, right? By the end of the day, my teacher called me in to talk to him and he said that he checked the phone bill to see that my name was up. And now as an adult person, I realized someone ratted me out. Like, he didn't get the phone bill that quick. Somebody ratted me out.
What a loser.
Such
a loser.
Why
would you rat someone out? You were just trying to have simple fun.
Just trying to be cool. Just trying to be a fun kid, right?
Just get on the radio.
Like, can we talk about those nerd-ass kids, too? Like, that was a dope-ass thing for somebody to do. Be like, our whole class is on the radio, you fucks. Say something.
That kid would have killed to be on the radio. You know he would have.
No one else is going to get you on the radio, Richard. So why don't you just give in to this,
Richard,
and have a little fun, right? God damn. Yes.
Richard is now an aspiring radio DJ and is just like failing.
He's
failing
like
hard.
An actuary by day and then like a club DJ, dubstep DJ at night for sure.
Richard. Oh my goodness. Well, you are just pure delight. For people that want to find you on the internet, can you please tell us where you can find you and what you got going on in terms of tour or anything else?
Yeah, you can find me on the internet on any social media using the handle Mr. D times 3, T-I-M-E-S, the number 3. I'm back on tour starting in February. If you want to get tickets, you can go to MrDtimes3.com. I'm literally all over the place.
You're going everywhere, my goodness.
Yeah, I'm going to a lot of places. So, as I said, I'm getting ready to prep my special, so I kind of went crazy. So I'm doing New Jersey, Honolulu, Spokane, Toronto, Sacramento, L.A., Denver, St. Louis. Just check the website. There's so many. And then if you want, you can check out my podcast, the Social Studies Podcast, and then every Wednesday, a sub-episode called Let's Watch TV is the podcast that I do with my mom, where we watch mindless television suggested by our fans. I also have a podcast with my mom.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Oh, my God. I love that. What's the next show that you're watching or what's the most recent?
You are going to love this. I literally just booked this in this chair, in this sitting, before I got on with you, for the entire month of February, we are changing it. So the podcast is called Let's Watch TV, but we're doing Let's Watch Broadway, and we just booked an entire week in New York where we're seeing 5 shows and then going back to the hotel and podcasting about it after.
Oh, that's awesome.
Honestly,
people are going to love that.
People are going to love it, but the memories, like, I'm just down for the memories. Like, this is one of those priceless things that we'll have for the rest of our life, and it's being documented. I'm just so excited. So we are seeing Aunt Juliet. We're seeing Hadestown, The Music Man with Hugh Jackman.
They're still doing that?
Yeah, so we're seeing it his last week. We're seeing Some
awesome.
Like It Hot, and then we're seeing The Old Man in the Pool with Mike Birbiglia, also his last week of it. So very excited.
Oh, how fun. Oh, I can't wait to listen to that. I also imagine, like, your audience loves Broadway, right? There's a lot of crossover there.
When we said that we were going to do it, the emails were endless. Endless.
That's awesome.
They're very excited.
Nailed it, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Great, great idea. Well, you're so smart, and I can't wait to see what's next for you. I mean, I just imagine your brain has ideas and ideas and ideas, and I just hope that you execute them all, and I'll be here cheering you on most definitely.
Thank you so much, and thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you. All right, talk soon.
Will, you're a fancy eye doctor. What's the weirdest thing you can see inside an eyeball?
Parasites?
I regret asking.
Honestly, medicine can get pretty weird, but I do have other stories.
No, I've heard all of your stories. I want to hear from someone else.
Okay, here's the plan. We'll do a podcast and we'll call it Knock Knock, Hi. You know, like how my med student character introduces himself.
Okay, back up. Do people even know what you're talking about?
Right, so I'm an ophthalmologist.
Also my husband.
As an internet comedian who's also a real doctor, I've seen a lot of crazy things.
And on our new podcast, Knock Knock High, we're going to hear about those crazy things from other people.
Right. We're talking with medical professionals, influencers, even actors sharing their own crazy medical war stories.
Ooh, like what happens when someone inhales gasoline?
Sure. So subscribe now and share Knock Knock High wherever you get your podcasts.
Or watch us Tuesdays on the Dr. Glockham Flecken YouTube channel.
Medicine is serious business, but it's also outrageously funny.
I think they'll be the judge of that.
Knock Knock High.
Hi.
You just heard the trailer for Knock Knock High, and it sounds so good. It's sincerely right up my alley, just like this episode was. Oh my God, Joe is amazing. I like follow him on Instagram, and I've, like I said earlier, like my friends pass around his clips, and I expected him to be fabulous, but he was even more marvelous in person. So thank you, Joe, for joining us. If you guys enjoyed it, let us know. We want to hear what you think. Come on over and join the Human Content Podcast family over on Instagram and TikTok at Human Content Pods, or you can just directly contact my team over at ungroundablepodcast.com. Also, like I mentioned earlier, it really means a lot when you guys take the time to leave a comment or a review. I'm over on YouTube's every Monday with clips, as you guys know. And over there, I'd like to give a shout out to a commenter. It's Louise M. who said, love this. Keep up the good work. I really enjoy the real talk. XO. Thank you. Love that for us. Also, guys, we have a Patreon. You know what's going on over there. We got lots of cool stuff. And I feel like we're constantly evolving and adding and doing new cool stuff over there. So join us on over there. I'd love to see you. That's patreon.com/ungroundablepodcast. And today we are doing a little Patreon roulette, giving a shout out to one of our members. And today it is Rose ASM. Thanks for us, ASMR. We appreciate you. Well, that's it, y'all. I hope that you had a good time. I'm your host, Lisa Schwartz, and Mom Schwartz, who is cheering me on in the background, and we'll be back for the next episode. Special thanks to our guest, Joe Dombrowski. Our executive producers are Lisa Schwartz, Aaron Corney, Rob Goldman, and Shanti Brooke. And our editor and engineer is Jason Portizo. Our music is by Omer Bensvi. And our theme song is performed by Leah Donovan-Jones. This is Ungroundable with Lisa Schwartz, and it is a Human Content production. I'm still thinking about that rabbit. Maybe he survived. She.
cockpit.